Welcome to Lemmo's Behind the Green podcast, where we get the inside scoop on all things sustainability and talk to people prioritizing and building a greener tomorrow. I'm your host, Rebecca Smith, and today I'm joined by Dana Davis, VP of Sustainability, Product, and Business Strategy at Mara Hoffman. Davis joined Mara in 2010 and successfully centralized and grew the company's production and design departments, secured partnerships with facilities around the world, and was integral in the company's transformation into the recognizable and widely distributed brand that it is today. In 2015, Davis spearheaded the company's transition towards sustainability, focusing on increased and innovative responsible manufacturing as well as supply chain evaluation. As a board member of Custom Collaborative and an advisor for Nest, Threefold, and the New York Workforce Development Coalition, Davis is also engaged with industry organizations and educators such as Textile Exchange and the CFDA. And for those gardeners out there, Davis is a keen enthusiast of regenerative farming and spends her personal time gardening and landscaping with her husband and their two children. Davis and I dig into how Mara became a brand heavily focused on sustainability, as it did not start that way years and years ago, yet now Mara is a leader in the space for so many other brands. So what prompted those changes and what goes into the making of sustainable clothing? Davis has spearheaded these efforts from the beginning, so let's dive right in. All right, well, thank you, Dana. Thank you for joining us today. I would love if you could give a little intro of yourself real quick. And Mara Hoffman.
Of course. Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Rebecca. This is really such an exciting opportunity, and I'm thrilled that I get to share the story and the journey of Mara Hoffman. So a little bit about myself. I graduated from FIT with a degree in fashion design. Very similar to Mara's story, which I'll get to tell. I started a business right out of college, where we were taking actual vintage clothing and reworking them and reselling them, which sounds so relevant to the work that's being done today. So it's kind of this whole full circle moment. And between while I was having the company, I was also freelancing at different companies, just honestly to pay the bills, but was also getting a great sense of what different companies were doing. And and so when our company did fold, which was in 2006 or seven, was able to immediately hop into a full-time role. And at that time I moved into a design role at Macy's, which was really interesting to go from kind of this small startup mentality into this large corporation, and realized that what I really ultimately liked to do was wear many hats, and saw that where I shined was kind of in more of those small companies, and had quite a few other journeys in between. When Mara had actually reached out to me, we knew each other through when I had my company back in the day, and she let me know what she was looking for. And I had kind of moved out of the design and production world. I was at the time actually commuting from Brooklyn to Philly and working at Urban Outfitters on their web styling team. And so when Mara reached out to me, I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting going back into my roots of design and production, but was a little hesitant and not sure if that was the direction that I wanted to go into. But once I had the opportunity to actually sit and meet with Mara and hear what she was looking for, there was no way that I could turn her down, because if you've ever had the chance of hearing Mara speak or meeting Mara, she truly is just such an inspiration. And I just saw so much opportunity to take this business and really grow it. So the role I was brought in was a production role. The company was really small at the time. There was about three employees. This was in 2010. So this marks my 13-year anniversary with the company.
Congrats.
Thank you. And my goal was to really expand the supply chain, look at our manufacturing partners, create processes, and just build a more efficient business. Mara was really on this amazing growth trajectory. Swim was a large part of our business. Even though in 2000, when Mara started the brand, very similar to me, started this company right out of college, really great story of how she got like kind of her first big retail moment. She tended to wear a lot of the clothes she made, her community, her friends wearing the clothes, would peddle her wares around to consignment shops, and was in a Patricia Field store and had the chance of meeting Patricia Field. Patricia Field saw the clothes Mara was wearing. Mara kind of had a bag of clothes that she was bringing there. And Patricia had said to Mara, oh, well, I'm working on this new show that's coming out. I'm the stylist for it. And I think that your clothes would be great. Turns out that was Sex and the City. And immediately Patricia Field sent her buying team to Mara and picked up the collection right away. And so that kind of was the impetus of building out these wholesale partners. So fast forward 2015. So now I've been with the company for 5 years. I moved into a broader role of overseeing the entire product team. So the design and the production teams. And 2015, it was really this massive pivotal moment. We call it kind of the aha moment. Mara had come to me. I had just had my second child. 3 years prior, Mara and I had had our first children, our kids at the same time, our first children. And there was a lot of conversations within our circle around zero waste lifestyle was coming up. Mara was bringing these ideas of people in her community, how they were living. And we were just really inspired by this movement. And we would have these really, you know, open conversations, candid conversations of how could we implement that into our personal lives, which felt so hard with having these young children. And all of a sudden our lives are filled with more stuff. And then we would look around the office and we'd be like, oh my God, how could we ever even make those changes within the work that we're doing? And those conversations evolved and evolved. And by 2015, when Mara had come to visit me, when I was on maternity leave, she literally sat down, tears welling up in her eyes, and was like, we no longer can continue operating this way. Something has to change. Mm. And she was feeling this weight, really, I think, led by the idea of leaving this amount of stuff and the knowing the impacts of this industry and leaving that on the weight of our children. And so she said to me, she's like, we either have to shut this business down or we need to figure out how to change. And at that moment she was like, and when you come back, I want that to be your top priority. And I was just filled with like such an amazing sense of gratitude that this individual who's been operating this business is coming to me and presenting me with this personal challenge, but also so inspired by her need and willingness to make these changes. So I know that's a big intro, but I think it's really important to understand, you know, we're 8 years into this journey, and this was a company that was 15 years running one very specific way. And now 8 years later, it looks just very, very different.
Yeah. I think that's a really good reminder too, that making change like this, especially moving into a more sustainable space and a more like sustainable model, is not something that just happens overnight, right? Like it takes time and it's a process, multiple people coming together really to make this work. And then it's great too, that you've gotten to see like where it started now to where it is today and really be a part of that journey. So I'm excited to hear, you know, some of the other insight and stuff too that you get to bring just from being in this role and watching that transition, because that's not an easy feat.
and I think the key word is the journey, right? There's no like end to this. This is something that you continuously grow and expand and learn from. And because this space is changing so rapidly, understanding what are new opportunities and ways to approach sustainability, it's just a constant evolution. And that's also really, that's inspiring also to see that much change.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to, if you could tell us a little bit about this journey, just in the manufacturing and the materials and the supply chain, like everything that you have to look at to make Mara Hoffman just continuously get more sustainable. Like, where did you really start? And then like, what is that journey like to get to where you are today?
Yeah, I think for us, the approach 8 years ago, and it's still the same approach today, is it really does start on that material level, knowing that our biggest impacts are coming from our materials. And so What we've had to do is really narrow down our material portfolio and keep it really small. And the reason why we do that is for multiple reasons. We have narrowed down what we describe as our preferred materials, but we're also really committed to transparency within our supply chain. So when we keep the material smaller, it keeps the supply chain smaller. Mm-hmm. So we start at the material level. And with that, it's about vetting the materials for what's the contents of those materials, right? What's the fiber that's needed to make those materials? Who are the manufacturing partners that we'll look with to work with to make those materials? And then what are the certifications that are needed within those materials? We as a brand rely heavily on certification for multiple reasons. And one of those is just honestly bandwidth. And so leaning into mm-hmm. certifications that exist that can kind of do a lot of that auditing and vetting for us through this process. So once we kind of have our materials mapped out for a season, then that dictates who's going to manufacture the actual production. So the cut and sew of the clothing itself, because we really try to localize that supply chain. So where is the fiber coming from? Where are the materials being made? Okay, now who are our manufacturing partners so that we're not moving goods around? Because we all know this is a very massive global supply chain. And a lot of times large brands, small brands, they just don't really understand that materials are really being moved around. And sometimes, you know, back and forth for different reasons. So that's a big focus for us. And then that visibility piece, the transparency piece. So there's a lot of work that goes into that. So a lot of gathering information on suppliers, visiting our suppliers. I spend a lot of time in our factories and that onboarding and then maintaining those relationships. We're not really looking to expand our supply chain unless we really, really need to. And then we're also looking at it through the lens of design. So what are the silhouettes that we're designing? Are these timeless bodies that our customer is going to cherish and keep year to year? Are they also going to last, right? So how are they constructed? Even down to like the washing and caring of these garments, how are we speaking to the consumer so that they understand the role that they play in maintaining those garments? And then we also look at through the lens of circularity. So that ties into the materials because we're thinking of end of life also at that beginning of the design. So really focusing on a mono material. So is there only one fiber that's used to make that garment? Because then we know it will have at the end of its life, which is honestly for us the last option, because we hope that, you know, someone will hold on to that garment. And even when maybe they're possibly done with it, that then they're either reselling it or they're donating it or passing it on. So lots of things go into to the process of designing something sustainably.
I think that's that the way you started that too, is that you were talking all about the materials, because even when you just came full circle after talking about production and supply chain, you came right back to the materials, right? So like you want these materials really to be high quality and to be good, so that then that end of life is much later in the process, or maybe it's not even existing, right? Maybe it's like someone uses these just forever. And then once it gets time to actually kind of move on from them, then there's a way to reuse them and upcycle. And so material really is such an important piece of that sustainable journey, which I love how you took that full circle. Something else that you mentioned actually in the very beginning in the intro was about how when you and Mara both had children around the same time, right, that was really that like aha moment of, we don't want to leave this burden back on the future generations and your children to kind of figure out, okay, how do we make the world more sustainable if we're kind of making it, if we're almost the problem right at this point? And so how do we fix that?
Right.
And I think that's such an interesting, thing to think about too, not just in the sense that we don't want to leave these problems with the future generations, but also like we lead by We lead with our actions too. So if you're teaching your kids at this point also, hey, like something has to change, and they see that and they grow up with that too, just with parents who really respect that, like they're naturally just learning to be more sustainable just because they're watching you do it too. And I think that's like a really interesting thing also to think about.
Yeah. And I think that that transcends outside of just our children. Like we see the opportunity to also show other brands that this is possible. And we wouldn't be where we are today without the pioneers in the space who really, really paved the path for us. And we leaned into those brands. I mean, I can't tell you how open and willing brands were to share with us their journey. And coming from the fashion world, that really blew my mind. Like this is tends to be a very proprietary industry where people don't want to share their resources. Mm-hmm. And for the first time, when I was knocking down on the doors of some of these brands, and I'm talking about Stella McCartney, Eileen Fisher, Patagonia, these brands were extremely open and willing to share with us. And that just was so inspiring. And so we see that as our responsibility as a brand. How can we continue to kind of share this journey? What has been the successes? What are the challenges? And how can we just, pay that forward continuously?
Yeah, I love that. I love to hear that too, that, you know, all these brands are basically coming together at this point, because we all want the same thing. Like we all have very similar goals in terms of what we want the world to look like in the next 5, 10, 15, 60 years.
Collaboration is required for us to actually make change. We all know that at this point, right?
Yeah, absolutely. What can we as consumers do to pay more attention to be more sustainable, like when we are choosing clothing? Like I know, and if anyone goes to the Mara Hoffman website now, there's a huge section all about sustainability, about this is what you do when like you're done, or when you feel like you're done with your clothes, or this is how you get more use out of them. Like, what should we be looking at when we're online shopping?
Yeah. You know, Mara always kind of touches in on the emotional connection to shopping, which I think is so important. So it's like, that's the first thing that I think we as consumers need to think through, like, why am I purchasing something? Is this filling just an emotional need? Or is this something that not that we're a brand that's here saying, okay, maybe you need a new t-shirt because you've ruined yours and you're going to come to us. We know we're not that brand. We understand that we are an emotional connection to somebody, but we also want to ensure that those pieces will last and are timeless. When an individual is going out and trying to navigate around how to make a more mindful decision about what they're purchasing, I think you want to find brands that align with your personal values, right? So doing a little bit of research is really necessary. What is the brand doing behind the scenes? They should have information on their website at this point, whether it's a sustainability section or, you know, what their personal commitments are. I just find that the importance of us connecting with the products and the brands that we're supporting is really required of us at this point. You know, even when you shop on our website, there's also a section on there that is called Full Circle. And that's a peer-to-peer resale section. So you have the opportunity to come to us as a brand and buy something that's secondhand. And so if you're out there and you're looking for something from a brand, I always say, check that first. Does this brand have some type of resale platform that you could shop from? But also, like, the least amount of impact is working with what's in your closet. So what do you already own, right? Sometimes I think people are like, but you're a brand, you're telling people to buy things. Isn't that counterintuitive? Yes, of course. People are going to continuously buy things, and we want you to buy from us and trust us that we're doing this work. But you do have the ability to shop your own closet. We also promote, we used to do this internally, and it was amazing, where we do like clothing swaps, right? Like, what do your friends have, and how can you use what maybe is just sitting in their closets as well? But I also think it's important to look at the contents of the garments that you're buying. What are the garments made of? I find that many people don't really understand materials. And if you're really against maybe plastics as a consumer in your day-to-day life, but you don't understand that polyester is also the same thing, it's like educating yourself around the materials that you're wearing, and taking care of those clothes, right? So whether you're repairing them, mending them, or just in general washing them less, or washing them on cold and line drying them, there's those things that you can also do just within your personal life.
Yeah, that's it's always such a funny thing when you go into your closet and you kind of like dig into the back and you're like, oh, I kind of forgot I had this, right? Like, it's like coming back to that, I actually love this, this emotional connection, but how did I forget it was even there? And so it feels like it's something totally new.
This
is the right time to do it, right? Spring cleaning. So yeah, go in there and see what's in the back of your closet. Can you get some more uses out of it? Maybe this time you're dressing it up a little different, right? Tucking it into different jeans or different pants or whatever it is.
And we are creatures of habit, right? So we're very big proponents of uniform dressing. So how do we normalize wearing and rewearing the same thing over and over again? We always laugh because the majority of the individuals within our office, we have a core program, and it's called the Adele shirt. It's this white hemp shirt. And on any given day, we look around and half of the people in the office are wearing this shirt. And we're like, okay, that is a shirt that we know that our customer should really invest in, because you're going to wear it all the time.
Yeah. And it's clearly, it's comfortable. You can dress it up. I'm sure dress it down. Like, it's hitting all the boxes.
It's all the things. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. That's such a funny thing to think about too, with men and women too, right? I feel like women, we put this standard on ourselves of, we have to wear something new every day. We can't be seen in the same thing 2 days in a row, maybe even the same thing within 5 days in the office. Guys wear the same t-shirts just over and over again, and no one knows. Nobody even recognizes it, right? And it's like, how do we get rid of that stigma also, that, hey, it's fine, I wore this sweater on Tuesday, I'm going to wear it again on Thursday, right? Like, getting rid of that stigma and that mentality around it having to be different every single day of the week, and repeat
make
that.
Our lives so much easier, right?
Oh my gosh. And our wallets will be happier. There's just so many positives around that.
So true. So true.
That's so funny. Tell me a little bit more about this, like the resale program that you guys have. So I know like that has been such a big topic just with brands everywhere. I feel like every time you read something in the news about a big retailer, they're like, oh, we're going to launch this resale and we're doing that. And so tell me a little bit more about Mara Hoffman's and kind of how that came to be.
Yeah. So in 2018, we started researching a take back program. And at the time, resale programs weren't really in existence. And so what we had launched was, we reached out to our customers, we put this on our website, and we said, if you have an old Mara Hoffman piece that you no longer wear, or that maybe has a damage on it, or you've worn it out, send it back to us. We want to repair it and we want to resell it. So we'd launched that program. And in all honesty, we didn't get a lot of traction from it. And so we were like, okay, why is the customer not engaging with this program? And we started to do more research. And what we realized was that because these garments still hold so much value to them, that the majority of our customers were going on to, let's say, Poshmark and reselling their Mara Hoffman because of the value with these pieces. And so we thought, wow, wouldn't that be amazing if there was a way that we could bring that customer onto our website where they could potentially resell an item that they were no longer interested in, and then have the ability to maybe replace it with something that they were going to get more wares out of. We also, in all honesty, we know that our brand isn't accessible. It's a very specific price point. So by being able to offer this specific section on our site gives more people access to be able to wear the brand. So in 2020, maybe it was 2019, a company reached out to us called Recurate. They were just launching a software platform that was a peer-to-peer platform. And having these conversations with the founders, I immediately knew that this was something that we could easily implement. They were extremely supportive of launching this with us. And it was kind of a no-brainer, in all honesty. And so what we see with this is people are interested in engaging on this section of the site. We also produce a very small amount of our products. I mean, sometimes, in all honesty, like 25 pieces of something, a really special item you'll see. So if something sells out, that's it. You can't get it again. So we've seen in this full circle marketplace where people are actually going out and looking for something very specific, that they kind of missed that opportunity to purchase that piece. So that's been a natural progression kind of from that repairing, reselling to now offering this as kind of that in between.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that also, that also, just thinking about how you answered with, sometimes you'll only make 25 pieces at a time. That got me thinking a little bit too about tracking and like how you think about kind of your goals around sustainability, because that also ties really closely, obviously, to revenue and like how much you're spending to make it and how much you're going to get back. But I assume also that there's a little bit of thought in that around 25 too, around if you're thinking about the materials and the whole journey that these products have to take, right? That means that there's much less happening in terms of like the negative, I guess, environmental footprint that you're leaving behind from some of these pieces. And if you're only making X amount of them, then it means that you can control that footprint a little bit more. Yeah. So can you talk to me a little bit too about how you, or how Mara likes to think about reporting back on some of your sustainability metrics and how you judge that, I guess, for some future endeavors?
Yeah. Data is always very tricky. Especially for a small brand. And I think it's important for the listener out there to understand that we are a really small company. A lot of times we joke that 23 years in, we're still a startup, so small that we're under 30 employees, and that includes even our retail. So data has always been something that's been really a little bit hard, but what we are focusing now on is how do we have more data? Mm-hmm. So previously to having the data, the approach was building out that sustainability strategy. So really defining what sustainability meant to us as a company, what are kind of the pillars of focus within that? And it started with environmental. And then we really realized that we needed to focus on social justice. And that looks at also our community partners as well. So that was a really big part to get to understand what we needed to track against. And in that strategy, we broke it down into short-term, long-term, and medium-term goals. Short-term, medium-term, long-term goals. And to always go back to that strategy and to know that this is a live strategy, it's forever evolving. But that really helps keep us focused. And then as we've gotten further in this journey, we then were like, okay, we really do need to have this data. How can we get this data? Who can we work with, who can support us? Knowing, again, going back to that materials, our largest impact, we knew that we needed to be tracking our materials. So we're members of Textile Exchange, which is an industry organization that has an amazing material benchmarking survey. And I believe even if you're not a member, you can still do the material benchmarking survey. So we started doing that survey in 2017, and that gave us a great understanding of material and like the improvements we were making within our material matrix. And how can we continue to accelerate those preferred materials? And it also now looks at some of your sourcing practices. So that's something we do annually. Something that we did last year was climate neutral certification. So that gave us our carbon footprint. We were able to have an actual data around that, then put together a reduction plan. And then this year, what we're doing is we're using the climate neutral tool. They have a tool that you can use around collecting your data and getting that carbon footprint. So once we kind of have a baseline of data, the important thing for us is to continue to make improvements on that. And so those are kind of the two big ones that we've been able to actually have some of that real data around. But I have to say that strategy is something that on a daily basis we lean into because it helps us stay focused and continuously make those improvements that we're looking for.
Yeah. It's always a journey. It's a journey there as well, always. Before I let you go, I would love to hear just a little bit too about some of these sustainability goals that you do have set for Mara Hoffman just in the next year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is.
Yeah. At the end of last year, we launched our first fair trade certified Mara Hoffman pieces, which was really exciting, something we'd been working on for a long time. So a big goal of ours is to expand that. How do we have more products that are fair trade certified? And how do we get more of our factories fair trade certified? And that's a certification that we can really lean into heavily, knowing that they're looking at environmental and social compliance, which is really great. We're continuously looking at how can we create job opportunities for underserved communities. So a big partner of ours is Custom Collaborative. I'm not sure if you've heard of this organization. It's a nonprofit that's located in Harlem, and they provide free training in the fashion industry to women from low to no income backgrounds. And so we've been partnering with Custom Collaborative on multiple initiatives, but one that we're rolling out this next month is an apprenticeship program. So individuals who go through the training program, we are now a pipeline for them to come into the industry and get on-hand job training in hopes to be able to either hire them or also help them with job placements in the future. The founder there, Ngozi Ankaro, she just does such amazing things and she's such an inspiration. So we're really trying to understand how we can promote the work that she's doing. We kind of talked a little bit about that carbon footprint and so, you know, continuously gathering that data and really driving in the reduction plan. So what is it that we're doing to minimize our impact year after year? This year, or I guess in the next 2 years, a big conversation for us is carbon insetting. How are we working with our suppliers? What are the needs of our direct suppliers that they could do to promote sustainability within the work that they're doing? So, you know, whether it is supporting them through some of those certification programs, or whether it is getting them to transition into clean energy or better chemistry. So how are we as the brand showing up and supporting them through that journey? I would say also innovation is a huge one for us as a brand. We've been able to launch some really amazing material innovations over the past few years. We continuously look at our swimwear. That's the biggest challenge for us. That's the only area where we haven't been able to move away from those synthetic materials for multiple reasons. Yeah. So what are the innovations that exist that we can continue to push away into better materials and in swimwear? So there's a lot of things that we're focusing on, a lot of exciting things.
And
keep on making improvements, you know?
Yeah. Constantly evolving, constantly changing in really good, positive ways and seeing what works. And if it doesn't work the way exactly you want it to, that's just another like learning lesson in the journey, right? Where then you just pivot. I love that. Excited to see all these initiatives, just continue watching them grow and evolve and see where Mara Hoffman goes in the next few years. Thank you so, so much for joining me and chatting with me today. Can you let everybody know how to find you online and Mara Hoffman online?
Mara Hoffman is marahoffman.com. Really easy. All of our handles, easy. Mara Hoffman. I'm on LinkedIn, Dana Davis. My Instagram is private, so probably not an easy place to find me. I would say check out the website. You have a chance to see the work that we're doing. We have a section on there that we actually just recently updated called Our Approach. It's a great place for other brands to tap into the work that we're doing and how can maybe possibly they replicate some of those things. And it's the place where the consumer can see the work that goes into creating a sustainable brand.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah. I will, I'll make sure all of that is linked in the show notes as well, so everybody can find that really easy. And then thank you for your time, Dana. This has been lovely. We will talk again soon.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Thanks for listening in to the Lime Loops Behind the Green podcast. If you want to listen to other episodes, visit anchor.fm/the Lime Loop, and we'll see you in here next time.